This is Dr. Benny Tate, and I would like to thank you for tuning in to this week's message at Rock Springs Church. Wherever you are, I hope this message encourages you and helps you grow in your walk with God. Here's this week's message from Rock Springs Church. And then our text today is found in Matthew. After this manner, therefore pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Let's pray. God, would you add your blessings to the reading of your word? I pray for a man, woman, boy, or girl that's here today who does not know you as personal Savior. I pray they would come to know you. And I pray this prayer with a grateful heart, for I pray this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I want to talk to you for a few moments about the Lord's Prayer is our prayer. The Lord's Prayer is our prayer. There was a preacher that purchased him a parrot, and he got this parrot home, and he noticed this parrot started using some crude language, started using some profanity that was just so bad. The preacher said, this could hurt me, because if I have some of my parishioners over and they hear this female parrot using all this profanity, it could be bad. So he was talking to the Catholic priest, and the Catholic priest said, well, now I've got two male parrots. But he said, let me tell you about my male parrots. He said, one of them holds rosary beads all day. And he said, the other one all day long just says, our Father, our Father, our Father. He said, I want to recommend you do something. He said, I want to recommend that you bring that female parrot over to my house. And he said, just the association. He said, just the association will do her volumes of good. So the preacher said, that sounds great. And he did just that. He took the female parrot over with the two male parrots. They left the room. And as they left the room, they heard one male parrot say to the other male parrot, you can put those rosary beads up. We've got what we've been praying for. Well, there are 650 recorded prayers in the Bible. 650. Certainly God wants us to pray. See, folks, prayer is the difference between the best you can do and the best God can do. Prayer's the difference between the best you can do and the best God can do. Now let me say something as a foundation. We've established that God unequivocally wants us to pray. Let me make two quick statements. Statement number one, you've got to have a time for prayer. You've got to have a time for prayer. See, the Bible tells us, in Psalms 5 and 3, it says, my voice shalt thou hear in the morning. I'm not saying the morning has to be your time. But I'm saying, ladies and gentlemen, you have to have a time for prayer. My voice shalt thou hear in the morning. In the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee, and I will look up, or have a spirit of expectation. You said, Pastor Benny, who said that? I'll tell you who said it. King David, the most powerful man in the world. He was king, literally the busiest man in the world, said, my voice shalt thou hear in the morning. You said, Pastor, I don't have time to pray. You don't have time not to pray. Listen very closely. You give the Redeemer your time, and the Redeemer will redeem your time. You give the Redeemer your time, and the Redeemer will redeem your time. Probably the most famous devotional, many of you have read it, My Utmost for His Highest. Oswald Chambers. What you may not know, folks, Oswald Chambers didn't write a word of that devotional. Oswald Chambers died at age 43, a young man. And after Oswald Chambers died, his wife took his sermons and she wrote, "My Utmost for His Highest." But Oswald Chambers said this. He said, "Remember, no one has time to pray. We have to take time from other things that are valuable in order to understand how necessary prayer is." I got up one morning to rush into the day. I had so much to accomplish, I didn't have time to pray. Problems just tumbled about me. Heavier came each task. I wondered, why doesn't God help me? He replied, "You didn't ask." I wanted to come into God's presence. I used all my keys at the lock, but God gently and lovingly chided, "Oh, my child, you didn't knock." I got up this morning. I paused before entering the day. See, I had so much to accomplish, I had to take time to pray. Understand something, ladies and gentlemen. If you're going to have an effective prayer life, you're going to have a time each day for prayer. But not only a time for prayer, you've got to have a place for prayer. Mark 1 and 35 says this, talking about Jesus. "And in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he departed into a solitary place and there prayed." Jesus had a place. Think about this, folks. When they came to arrest Jesus, they said, "Go to the Garden of Gethsemane." Judas said, "If you'll just go to that garden, it'll be real easy for you to find him, because that's his prayer place." I want to ask you this. I'm just asking. Does those close to you know where your prayer place is? Do those that are real close in relationship with you, would they know at this is the place where they pray? See, I'm encouraging you to have a time for prayer. But I'm encouraging you to have a place where you meet with God every day. And when you get up from there, or when you leave there, 1 Thessalonians says, pray without ceasing. What does that mean, Pastor? It means pray first. It literally means before you go into that meeting, you ask the Lord to direct you. Before you make that purchase, you ask the Lord to direct you. Before you make that call, you ask the Lord to direct you. Before you make that decision, you pray first. Before I do anything, I'm simply going to pray first. Now, here's what's interesting, folks. Can you imagine Jesus healed the blind man? He walked on the water, and he raised up Jairus' daughter. He fed the hunger. He cleansed the leper. But we need Jesus now more than ever. Jesus did all these wonderful miracles, but the disciples never said to Jesus, "Teach us how to do these miracles like you do." The greatest preacher who ever lived was Jesus. But the disciples never said, "Hey, by the way, Jesus, teach us how to be a great communicator." The greatest teacher who ever lived was Jesus. But the disciples never said, "Jesus, teach us how to do that." But they understood the foundation of everything was prayer. That's why they said in Luke 11 and 1, "Lord, teach us how to pray." Because, folks, God does nothing but by prayer and everything with it. Teach us how to pray. And look, he said, "I'll teach you." He said it. He'd teach us. Somebody said, "Brother Benny, it's the Lord's Prayer." You look at me close. It's not the Lord's Prayer. It's not the Lord's Prayer. And I can prove it. In Matthew chapter 6, he said, "Forgive us our debts. Forgive us our trespasses." Jesus would never have to pray that. He was the perfect Son of God. 2 Corinthians 5 and 21 says, "For he made him to be sin for us who knew no sin." He was perfect. Here's what I want you to get, folks. It was not his prayer It's our prayer. And you say, Pastor, I want to learn how to pray. Give me an outline for prayer. I'm glad you came today. Because he has given every one of us a sixfold outline for prayer. He said to every one of us, this is how you do it. Six things I want you to see. First thing I want you to see is this, ladies and gentlemen. I want you to see the person of prayer. Notice what he said. Our Father, which art in heaven. Now listen, I didn't have a daddy. But if you know God, you have a loving heavenly Father. And you said, Pastor, I didn't have a good father. Perhaps you didn't. But I want you to know something. God is the good, good Father. God is the good, good Father. He's a wonderful, wonderful Father. Now look, we don't understand the magnitude of this. And when I get through, you will say, he's exactly right. We don't understand the magnitude of the scope and how wonderful it is that God is our Father. Jesus, when he referred to God, he referred to him as Father. Even used the word Abba, which means daddy or papa. He said, God's my papa. God's my daddy. When he referred to God in the Gospels, 70 times he used the word Father. Father. Jesus prayed three prayers, ladies and gentlemen, when he was on the cross. In Luke 23, verse 34, he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And then later in Luke 23, verse 46, he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. You say, well, you said, Pastor, there was a third prayer. Well, there is a third prayer. And the third prayer is in Matthew 27, verse 46. But he didn't use the word Father. Why, Pastor? Why did he say, my God? Why didn't he call him Father? My God, my God, why have you forsaken me? Because you've got to understand, at that moment in time, your sin and my sin was placed on Jesus Christ. Your sin, no, don't look at me with that pious look. Your sin and my sin was placed on Jesus Christ. He couldn't say Father. Why, Pastor, couldn't he say Father? Because at that moment in time, God turned his back on his Son. Because God, the perfect Heavenly Father, could not look on sin. God turned his back on his Son, ladies and gentlemen, so he would never have to turn his back on us. He turned his back on his Son so he would never cease to be your loving Heavenly Father. I want you to see the person of prayer. I want you to know who you're coming to. I want you to know how much he loves you, and I want you to know what a good, good Father he is, ladies and gentlemen, so you can say, my Father, my Father. I want you to see the person of prayer, but I want you to see something else. I want you to see the purpose of prayer. Look what it says in verse 10. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. See, Pastor, verse 11 talks about give us this day our daily bread. But look, God's kingdom comes before the daily bread. You say, I don't know why God put me here. I know why God put you here. God put you here for his kingdom. No, we get our daily bread before God's kingdom. But the reason we're here, ladies and gentlemen, is for kingdom purposes. You say, Pastor, I don't even have a clue what God wants me to do. Let me tell you something. Whatever you're good at, you ought to be using for God. Whatever God has gifted you with, you ought to be using for your church. Whatever ability and skill that God's equipped you with, God made you a unique person. He placed in you a unique passion because God's got a unique purpose for your life. I've had businessmen say to me, I don't know why God's blessed me. I was talking the property across the road. We're putting 500 additional parking spaces over there. And a couple men in our church have brought their equipment over there and started popping stumps. They started getting the land ready. And both of them said, no, Pastor. There's no cost. We just want to do that. We just want to do this, Pastor. You said, Pastor, I don't understand why God's blessed me. Come up real close. I'm going to tell you. Read Genesis 12:2. He's blessed you so you can be a blessing. He's blessed you so you can be a blessing. You got to understand something, folks. When God blesses us, He always has more than us in mind. When God blesses us, He always has more than us in mind. You say, I don't know why God's blessed me. I know why God's blessed you. God's blessed you for the kingdom purposes. And we need to use our talent. We need to use our testimony. We need to use our treasury. We need to use the influence that God has given us for kingdom. You say, but Pastor, God's really blessed me. Look here. God didn't bless you to raise your standard of living. No, stick with me. God didn't bless you to raise your standard of living. God blessed you to raise your standard of giving because your life is supposed to be about God's kingdom. Folks, let me tell you something. One day when you stand before God, we'll find out what really matters. You want to determine how rich a person is? You tell me everything that they've got that money can't buy and death can't take away, and I'll tell you how rich they are. You get this? The person of prayer. The purpose of prayer. But wait. The provision of prayer. Now look, we get down to verse 11. When we pray, give us this day our daily bread. God said, listen, I want you to pray about your daily needs. I want you to pray about your physical needs. I want you to pray about your relational needs, your occupational needs, your emotional needs. I want to meet your needs. And it's okay to talk to God about the provision needed for your life. And folks, this is all I'm going to say. I don't know where you're at, but you can trust God to meet your need. God taught me early on. I've been the pastor here 33 years. And Barbara and I came here to pastor the church from Hills of Tennessee. And we got here one day and we wasn't making any money. And she said, Benny, what about insurance? And I said, well, we don't have any insurance, Barbara. We're truly just going to live by faith. We don't have any insurance. And I often joke and say that when I first came, I sold furniture to supplement my income. I sold my living room suit, my bedroom suit, my dining room suit. And Barbara got sick. We were just kids. We were just kids. And Barbara got sick. And most of you won't know, but we got down something called a phone book. Some of you don't know what a phone book is, but we got a phone book. And we prayed. And we went to the yellow pages. That's the business section for you that have never seen a phone book. And we went to the yellow pages and we said, there's a doctor in the county that we live in. And we put what money we had, and Barbara went to see the doctor and she said, I hope it's not more than this. And she came back and she said, Benny, you won't ever believe this. I said, what happened? She said, this doctor treated me, Benny, And after he treated me, he said, come back in my office. And when I got back in his office, he said, let me tell you, I'm a doctor, but my dad was a pastor. And I grew up in a pastor's home. And I've heard about you and I heard about your husband that you had moved here. And I'll tell you what God's laid on my heart. God's laid on my heart to treat you, and God's laid on my heart to treat your husband, and there'll never be any charge. I'm going to take care of your medical needs. Folks, I learned right there, God provides. God provides. God provides. Now look, we move on from provision to wait. The pardon of prayer. Look what verse 12 says. Verse 12 says this, and forgive us our transgressions as we forgive our transgressors. Now, I'm not going to camp here long, but when you start praying and you start asking God to meet your needs, he'll take his finger and he'll show you the things in your life that are not right. Amen. You see, Pastor, you ever been there? Oh, listen, I felt like a ham sandwich at a Jewish picnic. I mean, literally, he'd take that finger and he'd say, no, this is not right. And you know what else God would do? I would say, well, God, forgive me that. I, most of the time it had to do with this with me. My tongue. I mean, God's put teeth and lips and everything to try to contain it, but we still can't. One lady said to me, Pastor, my talent is just to speak my mind. I said, sis, you'd be better off if you'd bury that talent. But I'll get down and, God, forgive me. And then the Lord will say, what about so-and-so and the feelings you've got towards so-and-so? I don't know why I'm going here today, but it feels good. God said, before we can get things right, you've got to make an effort to get things right with so-and-so. By the way, am I knee-deep in the Word of God? Yeah. Before me and you can get exactly where we need to be, you hadn't made effort to get things right with blank. See, you said, well, Pastor Benny, look here. You come up real close. Somebody said, Pastor Benny, they were at fault. God never addressed who's at fault about anything. You have a responsibility to forgive people if they never ask you. Jesus offered forgiveness on the cross before we ever asked, ladies and gentlemen. And we have a responsibility to forgive people whether they ask us or not, because our forgiveness is tied to our willingness to forgive other people. Good preaching, Benny! And look, this is all I'm going to say. Now, I did not say that in the last service. I did not say what I just said in the last service. So it's for somebody that's watching or somebody that's sitting here today. You said, Pastor, you talking to me? If your phone's ringing, answer it. Now, look here. The fifth thing I want you to see is the protection of prayer. The protection of prayer. Get this. Look what Matthew 6 and 13 says. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Here's all I want to say. The enemy wants to destroy you. He wants to destroy your family. He wants to destroy relationships. He wants to destroy your children. You're no match for him. You need to pray, God, deliver me from evil. Amen. From evil. God, deliver me. Lead me not into temptation. Deliver me from the evil one. You said, Pastor Benny, I'll never mess up. No. I would not say that. We all need the protection of God. Men, we all need the protection of God. We're not so strong. We're not so strong morally that we can handle the enemy on our own. We need the protection of God. And then the sixth thing he said, the praise of prayer. Look what he said in verse 13. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom. What does that mean? All authority belongs to you, God. Thine is the kingdom and the power. God, you have power to do anything. And the glory. Because God, it all belongs to you. Billy Sunday said, when you pray, pull out some of those groans and shove in some hallelujahs. Pull out some of those groans and shove in some hallelujahs. What are you saying, Pastor? Here's what I'm saying. Start your prayer with praise. End your prayer with praise. And you'll be able to leave in a spirit of faith. See, folks, I started a series. I launched this new year called Pray First. And I really believe this. I believe this is the message that God is trying to get to America. You say, well, Pastor Benny, we got to get this one in. We got to get that one out. But 2 Chronicles 7 and 14 says, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I'll hear from heaven. I'll forgive their sin. I'll heal their land. I believe God is trying to get to us, folks, as a nation. We need to pray first. I believe God's trying to get to us. We need to pray first. Before we do anything else, we need to pray. January the 2nd, watching Monday Night Football, the Cincinnati Bengals were playing the Buffalo Bills. And there's a player, number 3, Damar Hamlin, 24 years old, makes a routine tackle. And after making the routine tackle, collapses on the field. Cardiac arrest. Literally, ladies and gentlemen, his heart stopped for 9 minutes. You know what's amazing? He's dead. Heart stopped. I'm not a medical doctor, but heart stopped. And you know what they decided? We don't need to play. We don't need to pay. Tonight, it's not about the play. Tonight, it's not about the play or the pay. We've been battling one another, but tonight it's about pray. Amen. Tonight it's about pray. And those men that had been battling walk out on that football field and they get down on their knees. They get down on their knees. And they start praying. I mean, those big linebackers that are big enough to eat hay and dumb enough to enjoy it. They get down on their knees. Oh, what I wish. I wish some Caesar milk toast had walked down there and said, let me tell you something. I'm with an ACLU and you can't pray. Oh, I wish some Caesar milk toast would have done that on that occasion. The coaches, ladies and gentlemen, said we need to pray. The 32 NFL teams put on their social media, we need to pray. We may not can do it in public school, but oh, folks, we did it that night on the football field, amen? We just need to pray. ESPN Live was reporting. And Dan Orlovsky said, I can't help it, folks. I just can't help it. I feel like we need to stop what we're doing. And live here on ESPN, of all things, we just need to pray. And he bowed his head, and the other announcers bowed their heads, and they prayed to the God of heaven. And ladies and gentlemen, the nation prayed. The nation prayed. And Damar Hamlin started getting better. His heart went back into rhythm. He started getting better. He started recovering. And the next football game, his team was playing the New England Patriots. And he was there in bed. And New England kicked off. And the Buffalo Bills return man, he returned it 96 yards. 96, oh, listen close. 96 yards for a touchdown. Now, you know what's so interesting about that? The last time that happened was 2019, exactly 3 years and 3 months from the day. 3 years and 3 months from the day. And keep in mind, Damar Hamlin's number is number 3. They played that football game. The quarterback, Josh Allen, just so happened to throw 3 touchdown passes. The Buffalo Bills defense just happened to intercept 3 passes from the opposing team. And the most notable player on the team, Josh Allen, started running around saying to his teammates, "Guys, this is spiritual. Guys, this is spiritual. God is real. Guys, this is spiritual. Our God is real." God said, if you don't praise me, oh, everybody stand. If you don't praise me, if you don't praise me, the rocks will cry out. You know what I believe? I believe God is saying, if the school don't praise me, if the church don't praise me, oh, if the legislative body don't praise me, I'm going to get praise, even if it's on a football field. I'm going to be glorified. I'm going to be praised. Here's what I know, folks. God answers prayers. It is no secret what God can do. I preached last service like a holy roller at a camp meeting. And I made up my mind this service. I said, if you'll just calm down, Benny, you'll preserve your voice. If you'll just calm down, you'll preserve your voice. But folks, when I get thinking about what God's done, when I get thinking about what God's done, when I get thinking about how good God's been to me, it just makes me want to lift my hands and lift my voice and shout hallelujah in the presence of my enemies. Can we just give God praise one more time? Can we just praise Him one more time?
Thank you for joining us for this week's message from Rock Springs Church. If you would like more information about Rock Springs, be sure to follow us on social media or connect with us at rockspringsonline.com. Join us right here next week for another message from Rock Springs Church.